continuing from 10 all the way to the end. 10 all the way to the end. And I'm still speaking on the subject, the test of Israel's revival, part 2. The test of Israel's revival. And last week we did see that Nehemiah had finished all the rebuilding of the wall. He had put in place certain leaders and he had to go back to Persia. And so when he went back to Persia, and researchers say that it took him roughly about 12 to 13 years that he returned back to Persia. And when he returned to Persia, he came to realize that, hold on, the Israelites that had a revival under him when he came and they built the walls and they had a revival and made certain covenants have gone back to living a different lifestyle. And we saw how even the high priest wasn't holding on to the standard of the Lord. And that grieved Nehemiah strongly and he wept. And we did talk about how time has its way of challenging or testing our revival. You see, all of us have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. We were once sinners. We were once not in relationship with God. And by God's grace, Jesus came to die for us. And by God's grace, he gave us an opportunity to hear about Jesus and accepted Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior. And the word of God says that on that day, we came into a relationship with him. And so we've come into this relationship with God. I believe all of us here have had different times and different years in life of how long we've been Christians. And when we did look at last week's sermon, we did say that time has its way of changing us. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you were a certain kind of person. Are you the same now? Or even better now? Or are you worse now? And that is exactly what was happening there. Nehemiah, after 12 years or 13 years, comes back and he realizes that the people's salvation was totally different. They had gone back to living a different lifestyle. And it grieved him. And the question was, how is your lifestyle now? That was last week. And so today, Nehemiah realizing all those things, we saw how he got angry and he went into the temple and he threw the things of Tobiah out and all that. And we talked about all those things. Nehemiah then felt the need to put in place the right things. He made some new reformations. And so when I was studying on this subject, it got to a point I stopped and I said, wow, the cat is really back. The cat is back. Because the cat wasn't around, the mice came out, the rats came out, the mouse and all that came out playing around and doing their things. But the moment Nehemiah came back, a true worshiper of God, a true believer in the things of God, one that is really yielded to leading God's people the right way, came and he saw that, hold on, things are not the way it's supposed to be. And he went back to putting reformations. And so we are going to look at 3 major reformations that Nehemiah made. He realized these people need to be brought back to the way things are supposed to be among the people of God. And even in the house of God too, and as Christians and as children of God, wherever our spiritual life is, it's about time to have a roundabout. It's about time to go back to putting things right in our life. So the first thing Nehemiah does is to do a financial reformation. A financial reformation. When you look at the verse 10 down to 14, it says, I also realized that the portions for the Levites had not been given them. For each of the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone back to his field. So I contended with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their places. Then all Judea brought the tithe of the of the grain and the new wine and the oil to the storehouse. And I appointed as treasurer over the storehouse Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levite Pedaiah, and next to them was Hananah the son of Zechor, the son of Mataniah, for they were considered faithful, and their task was to distribute to their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for its service. Glory to God. Remember me, O my God. But he first did certain things. I also realized, as he says, I also realized that the portions for the Levites had not been given them. The people did not obey God's word regarding giving because of the lack of support. Those who should give their time to the service of God and his people, the Levites and the singers, could not, and they had to leave that service. Because the children of God had refused, had stopped giving to the house of God, the Levites, the priests, and the singers in the house and all that couldn't continue to do the job. So they had to go back to doing something else to survive. That is what he's saying. That is what he's saying. The children of God didn't give anymore. So the priest, the Levite, the singers, people who were supposed to commit themselves to being able to do the work of God in the house of God, also having families and having to take care of their children and their wives and that, couldn't afford that. They had to go back to doing something else. I will talk more on this, but I want us to move forward a bit. Why is the house of God forsaken? Nehemiah asked, why is the house of God forsaken? You see, to Nehemiah, the children of God not giving so that the children, the leaders, and the spiritual leaders who are called to be committed to the work of God, not doing it, he saw it as the house of God being neglected. Because these people were not there anymore to clean the house of God. These people were not there anymore to preach the gospel. These people were not there anymore to pray with people. They were not there anymore to burn the incenses. They were not there anymore to do the things that the spiritual leaders were supposed to do. The house of God was forsaken. The house of God was forsaken. This is something we need to reflect upon and think about. Seriously. The word of God says in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, they had to go to the temple. They had to go to the house of God to pray. But when Jesus died, he gave us all an opportunity. Jesus says that there's a time coming where the true worshiper will worship God in truth and in spirit. And so now it is no more about a place where you can go to encounter God. But there are places called the house of God. Like this place is a house of God because it is where the children of God come to gather to worship God. And the word of God says that wherever two or more shall gather in my name, there I will be. So long as this place is devoted and dedicated to the worship of God, his presence is also here always. So this is like this is the house of God. But in the New Testament, the word of God tells us that we are the temple of God. Our body is the temple of God. And so the first thing a child of God needs to be aware of is not to neglect their own, their self. How can I be contributing to the neglect of my spiritual lifestyle when you are not praying? When you are not studying the word of God? When you are not paying money, when you are not buying the books you are supposed to buy to study to grow in the things of God, when you are not switching on the TV to watch the programs you are supposed to watch, When you are doing other things and you neglect your spiritual lifestyle, you are neglecting your personal relationship with God. And it is also no wonder then that if we are not being responsible about our own personal spiritual growth, then how much more the house of God? How much more here where we gather to worship? How much more are we going to be committed to coming to the house of God and saying, you know what, I need to give my offering. I need to give my tithe. You know what, I'm going to commit my gifting. Some of us here are nurses. Some of us are professional teachers. Some of us here have different giftings and abilities that we can use to be a blessing and to increase the work of God in this place. We neglect all these things. We are busy doing other things. I know pastors who cannot afford to be doing pastoral work on a full-time basis. So they are full-time pastors, they are full-time bank managers, they are full-time constructors, they are full-time something else, they are full-time fathers, they are full-time husbands. Can you imagine the burden that is on them? And so some pastors, it comes to a point, some Christian leaders, it comes to a point they cannot do the work as they are supposed to do anymore. Because the children of God are not committed to supporting the work of God. And so the burden is on the leaders alone. And to this morning, I want to encourage us not to leave the burdens to some people. We must all first search ourselves. Let us revive our own spiritual life with the Lord. And first, also, secondly, also, now ask ourselves, how can we support to not neglecting the house of God? Am I giving my finances? Am I supporting the ministry as it's supposed to go? And so Nehemiah says, I gathered them all together and set them in their place. Nehemiah set the situation right by expecting the Levites and the singers to recommit to the work of serving God and his people as they should. He also reorganized the collection and accounting of the people's tithe and giftings. I understand that some people are not, some pastors and some church leaders are not being good accountants of God's work. Some churches are wasting money on unnecessary things. Some pastors are really squandering. They are wasting, they are destroying that which the children of God are struggling to bring in. And we need to stop that in the house of God. Christian leaders needs to stop wasting God's finances. On the other hand, you don't also stop giving. Because at the end of the day, it is God we are serving. We are not serving human beings. And so in this house, whatever you choose to bring to God here, remember, you are not bringing it to me. You are bringing it to our Lord Jesus Christ. And over here, we have a committee, we have a team that pays attention to the finances and the spending. I tell you, I don't use the church's money for any personal gain. And many pastors are not into the business of using the church's money for any personal gain. Because we understand that we will all be judged one day. We will all be judged. Children of God, be encouraged and serve God with all your heart. Don't look at the mistakes of other people and neglect the house of God. I know somebody who was so gifted but decided not to serve in the house of God because he was offended by a ministry leader. Look, we are human beings. We will offend each other. But when the offense comes, let us deal with it and be focused on serving Jesus. Yeah? Let us serve Jesus. And let us deal with offenses and move on. The enemy will use offenses to hinder us from serving God, and it will be a neglect of the house of God. Do not neglect the house of God. And so when you move on, in 15 to 22, he also put together a priority reformation. I'm going to read a few here. In those days, from verse 15, in those days, I saw people in Judea treading wine press on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, and I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods, and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judea and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judea and said to them, what evil thing is this that you are doing, by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your father do thus? Did not your fathers do thus? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. So it was at the gate of Jerusalem, as I began to be dark, as it began to be dark the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut and guarded and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Nehemiah again start to put priority in place. In those days, I saw people in Judea treading wine press on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was being ignored in obedience to God's clear command under the old covenant. Foreigners sold and the people of Israel bought. At the root, this was a problem of what? Priority. There is nothing wrong with buying and selling. Only when our desire to buy and sell, to make money or spend money, become more important to us than honoring God. This was a clear way the people of Israel were putting, making, and spending money before glorifying God. They prioritized other things. On the Sabbath, they were just supposed to relax and reflect on God and worship God and honor God. But now, it had become a day of doing business. Foreigners were bringing it, and they were buying and they were selling too. And so their priorities had changed from spending quality time with God to doing something else. Colossians 2:16-17 says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. You see, our focus has to be on Christ. If other things are becoming more important to us than our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, then our priorities have shifted. As you are sitting here, what are you thinking about? What are you planning to go and do? What are your desires? When you sleep and you wake up, what is important to you? When you're going through your day, what is important to you? Our priorities must be shifted. And Nehemiah made sure that he shifted, he put up measures that will allow them to start thinking of their relationship with God. And so, children of God, my question this morning is, what is your priority? What is your priority? What is so important to you? What is so important to you? Is Jesus the most important to you? Is your relationship with God so important to you that you make time to spend quality time with him? I love to hear people say, oh, I pray in the car when I'm driving to work. Oh, I do everything else. And then I ask, do you have personal quiet time It is good to be doing all the other things, driving and worshiping in your car, listening to a sermon and all that. But do you actually also make time for God to have quality time with you, to really talk to God, to really engage with God? Do you make time to study the Word of God? Do you make time to pray, really spend time in prayer? You saw this morning how the Apostle Paul is saying to us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, that we should pray, and we should pray long. He said, pray hard and pray long. And so it is good to spend 5 minutes in prayer when you're on the way, or 10 minutes when you're driving in your car. But do you also prioritize time that you can spend quality time with God? Does your actions actually show that you are seeking to have a priority? You prioritize your relationship with God, that God is center of everything you do. Me and you both need to be answering these questions. And if it is not right, you have a chance now. You have a chance now to shift your focus, to shift your target, to shift your attention onto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. We have been saved, but we need to maintain our salvation. And so if your salvation is not as sweet as it was before, go back to it. Nehemiah put together things. Today, God has called you as the priest of yourself. You have to be willing to make the decisions to prioritize your relationship with God. Today, God has called the men as the priest of their homes. We have to be willing to make the decisions that prioritize God in our homes. Women, God has called you as leaders in your home. You have to be willing to make the decisions to prioritize God in your home. Children, youth, young adults, God has called you to prioritize your relationship with Him. Everything you do, everything you think about, it is not because you are in your college room alone and nobody can see what you are doing, so you can do your own thing. I remember when I was in the seminary, how I would be sleeping. I mean, in the seminary, we all have our rooms. I would be sleeping, and there was a guy and a girl who met in our first year. When I'm sleeping in the middle of the night, sometimes I had prayed and I've just fell in bed, I will hear the girl tiptoeing, and then she will come and hide in the guy's room. It won't be long, then I'll start hearing sounds. And I'll be like, hey, children of God. Children of God. Priority. What are you doing on yourself alone? By yourself alone? Is God your priority? Is your focus on Jesus? If He's important to you, it has to show in your actions too. In the decisions you make, the times that you choose to do certain things, all these things matter. You bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. Nehemiah knew that sin was not only a personal issue. When such open sin is winked at and left uncorrected among God's people, it invites the correcting hand of God. If sin is not dealt with among God's people, it invites the correcting hand of God. That is why I'm always conscious about what fathers do. I am always conscious about what mothers do. I am always conscious about what leaders do in the house of God. What we stand against, what we don't stand against, what we hinder, everything we do brings God's judgment. And sometimes God's judgment can be one that you don't want. We always want the good judgment of God, not the negative judgment of God. And so if there is any sin you are condoning, if there is any sin you are entertaining as a man in your home, as a father in your home, as a woman in your home, as a mother in your home, or in your own personal life, or even as ministry leaders, you know some dodgy lives that some congregational members are living, or even ministry staff are living, and you are sitting on it, you are hiding it. Let us not tell pastor, because if pastor knows, he will bring this in discipline against you and all that. No. Because if we don't do what is rightfully supposed to be done, God's negative judgment will come to all of us. Do you remember the children of Israel going to battle in Joshua? They had just defeated Jericho. And Jericho had become a victory. They enjoyed and celebrated it. Then in their journey, they came across Ai. Ai was a small town. With time, I'll preach on that subject. And they were supposed to go and fight the people of Ai. And the fathers of them, the Israelites, said, oh, let's just choose some guys to go and fight and destroy these people. We have even dealt with Jericho. How much more Ai? They went and they were chased. They lost the battle. And they started weeping. 36 of them were killed. They came and Joshua put his hand on his head weeping. And the Lord said to him, why have you come to me weeping? Is sin not in the camp? Achan had sinned. God told them, when you go to Jericho, destroy everything. And Achan saw a cloth that he liked. And he took the cloth and he came to hide it in his tent. And in all this time, the leaders of Israel didn't know, and they were also not being responsible. Before they went to the war, you would expect that Joshua would ask the people of Israel, is there any sin you need to repent of? Is there anything? Do you have to consecrate yourself before you go into battle? They didn't pray, they didn't do anything, and they went to battle, and they lost. The leaders were neglecting their spiritual responsibility. And a sin caused a downfall, a loss of a battle. 36 people dying. One person's sin here can hinder all our prayers. Can you imagine that? If me as the leader, if the board members, if every ministry leader, if all of us are not being faithful and honoring and looking at that which is right and making sure the right things that are supposed to be done in the house of God are being done, and we are winking to sin, we are allowing some evil things to operate among us here and to go on amongst us without doing anything about it, God's judgment will come to us. We will not see growth among us. We will not see healings happening. We will not see deliverances happening because we allow the devil to have a grip over us. And Nehemiah is telling them, be careful, because what you are doing brings God's judgment on us. We don't want it here. So children of God, start reorganizing your life. Whatever you are doing privately, whatever you are agreeing with somebody to do that does not honor God, please stop. Ministry leaders, be willing to live right before God. Be willing to promote righteousness and holiness in the house of God. Myself, I have to be willing. All of us, let us now bring ourselves to that place. Maybe there's been a time, period has passed. I've been saved 10 years, 20 years, 15 years. I have been saved 40 years. I know Jesus. I know God. I know everything in the Bible. But maybe your life is not on fire. It's not active. It's not as powerful as it was when you were saved 10 years ago. The time has come, children of God, to reorganize your life. Reprioritize that which is important. Jesus says, what soul shall profit a man to gain the whole world and at the end lose his soul? Seek first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness, and the rest shall be added unto thee. What are you busy looking for? Many of us are looking for things. Many of us are looking for hope. We are looking for courage. We are looking for encouragement. We are looking for healing. We are looking for financial breakthroughs. We want to buy everything in this world. It is good. Look, God is not saying he will not give you these things. He says he will give it to us. The rest shall follow. But seek first. Make sure your relationship with God is solid. And then the third, relationship reformation. Nehemiah realized that this is from 23 to 31. I'll just read a few. In those days, I also saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, and could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke according to the language of one of the other people. So I contended with them and cursed them. I tell you, Nehemiah was no joke. The guy was serious. Can you imagine? He's dealing with the leaders. He's not dealing with the people. You know, one man, he entered into the whole town and he got aggressive and started dealing with things. One man, one human being. That is why I keep telling you guys, if we get our focus right, this town carny, it's not difficult for Jesus, you know. If me and you, we get our focus right. One man, Nehemiah, entered into Jerusalem and he scattered, he called all the leaders and he sat them down and saying, look at what you are doing. Look at what you are doing. Look at what you are doing. I contended with them and cursed them, struck some of them and pulled out their hair and made them swear by God. The guy was aggressive. He pulled some of the women. So imagine I run and I come and I bet you the next thing police will be entering here. You are abusing your church members. Eh? I won't do that to any of you. I cannot do that. It's not in me. I can't attack you physically. Never. By God's grace. But Nehemiah had his ways. What I'm trying to say is that we need to be willing to live by the standard of our Lord Jesus Christ. He pulled some of their hair and he told them, are you crazy? Giving your children to people who does not know God. When I was in UK, this is about 11 years ago, a survey that was published was that part of the Islamic agenda. When I was in UK, the Islamic movement started becoming very strong. And part of the agenda was that they were educating and training and teaching and encouraging their younger men to marry into Christian homes, to marry Christian girls. Children of God. So, you see, when they marry in Christian homes and they marry the girl, they cannot bring the girl home and say, this is how I expect you to live your life. And start indoctrinating them to live Islamic lifestyle. And so Islam was growing and most of the young girls were getting into relationship with Islamic young kids and they didn't understand what they were getting themselves into. But it was a plot, it was a plan to make sure they win, they expand their territory this way. And today, children of God, I have I know somebody that is looking for a wife. The moment he starts talking about the person, I'm like, hello, what does the person believe in? How is the person's spiritual lifestyle? How is the person's spiritual lifestyle? What do you think Jesus is saying about this girl you've started dating or you're thinking about? Is this girl, and then the easy thing people say, oh, I'm Catholic, an excuse not to be committed. A lot of people use Catholicism as an excuse not to be committed to Jesus. And then they live their life anyhow. No difference between a Christian and an unbeliever. Yes, we say we are Christians. And you see guys wanting to marry these people. I tell my own guy friends, look, if you don't put your life together, if you don't live according to the standard of God, there is no godly child of God that can marry you and love you and treat you like Jesus wants you to be treated. And that is what is happening here. They married the wrong people. They married in the wrong institution. So what? The Israelite kids who were supposed to be committed children of God now were worshiping other idols. That is exactly what, when you read the passage, he uses Solomon as an example. Didn't Solomon, who is blessed with all the blessings of God upon him, didn't his heart get swollen by marrying from all sorts of women and started struggling in life? Even he was caught up in marrying in the wrong environment. How can you think you can survive? And so, children of God, we need to be smart and really reflect on our relationships. Reflect on your relationship. This person I call a friend, and we like to say, oh, she's my sister, your gossip sister. Oh, she's my sister, your racist sister. Oh, she's my brother. Oh, he's my brother. Oh, your arrogant brother. Oh, your jealous brother. And when you guys come on the phone, that is when you do your evil things and you call them your friend. Go and read Psalm 1. It says, blessed are those who do not sit in the seat of wicked people. Watch your friends, who you call a friend. Because slowly, gradually, the enemy can use them to pull you away from your love of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in love with Jesus. There is a song, I'm in love, I fall in love with my Lord. I'm in love, yeah, yeah, I'm in love, I fall in love with the Lord. We can get up and sing these songs and dance patingale, otongale, hukundili, hetengali. And then when we go out, we go and relate with our unbelievers. They advise us, they tell us, they show you, they tell you everything to do. Some of us are even living our life. We are making important decisions in our life and our pastors don't know. And our ungodly friends know everything about us. They advise us and tell us and show us where to go. Children of God, reprioritize your life. We are here today. Tomorrow we are not. Tomorrow we are not. And the word of God says that it is said for one to die once and after death, judgment. I pray in the name of Jesus that none of us would die and go to hell in Jesus' name. Devil, you shall not win in this house. None of us will die before our time, and none of us will end up in hell in Jesus' name. I resist you, devil. In this house, we shall live for Jesus. And those who are connected to the vision of this church, they shall prosper, I'm telling you. God will raise us like a shoot. Just a few days ago, I was lying in bed, and I saw a plant just grew. And I was like, oh Lord, what is this? I got up from the dream. I'm like, Lord, what is this? And he said to me, that they that are rooted in my word, they are growing. They grow like shoot plants shooting out of the soil. For I water them and I nurture them and I grow them and I strengthen them and I empower them. Children of God, dig into God's word. Let your decisions be founded in God's word. Relate with godly people and go for godly counsel. Pray, spend time, love Jesus. Let him be your focus. Change your lifestyle. If you are a man here and you are not honoring Jesus, you are not loving your wife. If you are a woman here, you are not serving. You are not submitting. The Bible doesn't say serve. It says submit. You are not submitting. You are a boy here. You are not loving Jesus. You are not respecting your parents. Change. Yield to Jesus. Surrender to Jesus. Ask him for forgiveness. And ask him to come in and show you the new life. You see, when we say, Lord Jesus, come in and show me the new life, that is where the Holy Spirit starts his work. And which is why from next week, we're going to start studying on the Holy Spirit. Because we need him to teach us. We need him to empower us. We need his grace to become the children of God that we are called to be. Nehemiah clearly is operating by the anointing of our living God. He's operating by the anointing of our living God. And then Nehemiah goes ahead and he prays, "Remember me, O my God, for my good." You see, this "remember me, O my God, for my good," he's not saying it in a good manner. He saw failure. Look at how I came and I committed to raising these people up. We repented and made certain covenants, and suddenly we are sinning against God. And so he said, "Lord, remember me for all my good." If you commit to Jesus, he will never turn his back on you. Paul says in Romans, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did not send his son in the likeness of sinful flesh." To many Christians, look for victory. You see, our victory is not in decisions that we make and things that we say we will do and all that. We need to totally depend on God to take us through our decisions. These Israelites made the decision, they made covenants and they wrote it and all that, but they still couldn't hold on to it. It is not about, "Oh, I want to live for Jesus." It is not about things you write and books that you keep. And no. It's all about yielding and surrendering to Jesus and depending on him, trusting him to take care of you. Are you trusting Jesus? You cannot win your own salvation. Jesus will win it for you. Jesus will help you. He will see you through. He will perfect you to the end of days. And so you need to depend on him. You need to trust him. You need to yield to him. You need to yield to him. The old has passed. The new is here. Let us pray. We have studied Nehemiah. And it is finished. Where are you? Where are you? Where is your heart? Where is your mind? Is something